Hebrews, chapter 9. Now even the first covenant also had ordinances of divine service, and its sanctuary, a sanctuary of this world. For there was a tabernacle prepared, the first, in which were the lampstand, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the holy place. And after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies. Having a golden altar of incense, and the ark of the covenant overlaid around with gold, in which was a golden pot holding the manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And above it cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat, of which things we can't now speak severally. Now these things having been thus prepared, the priests go in continually into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the services. But into the second the high priest alone, once in the year, not without blood, which he offers for himself, and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit this signifying, that the way into the holy place has not yet been made manifest, while the first tabernacle is yet standing. Which is a figure for the time present, according to which are offered both gifts and sacrifices that can't, as concerning the conscience, make the worshipper perfect. Being only, with meats and drinks and diverse washings, carnal ordinances, imposed until a time of reformation. But Christ having come as high priest of the good things that have come, through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. Nor yet through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, entered in once for all into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify to the cleanness of the flesh. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of a new covenant, that a death having taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of him who made it. For a testament is of force where there has been death, for it does never avail while he who made it lives. Therefore even the first covenant has not been dedicated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people. Saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded toward you." Moreover the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry he sprinkled in like manner with the blood. And according to the law, I may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and apart from shedding of blood there is no remission. It was necessary therefore that the copies of the things in the heavens should be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ didn't enter into a holy place made with hands, like in pattern to the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear before the face of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the holy place year by year with blood not his own. Or else he must have often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once at the very end of the past ages he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed to men once to die, and after this comes judgment. So Christ also, having been once offered to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, apart from sin, to those who wait for him, to salvation.